Today is December 13th, 2022. Current Bitcoin price is $17,763.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, another day in paradise.
Another day in paradise. You know who's not in paradise? Well, he is in paradise, but he got locked up for it.
I know it's paradise to somebody. or being a vegan, he's going to be eating a lot of meat. If you know what I mean.
Oh man.
Oh,
that poor guy. I wonder if like the Bahamas. I wonder if they've got like a nicer jail. You think?
No. It's probably rougher.
You don't think they have like a private holding area for... I mean, because you'd imagine like they probably arrest quite a few rich people over there.
No, that's why they move there, so they don't get arrested.
Well, it didn't work for him.
Well, it worked for a freaking long time anywhere else in the world, and he would have been in jail like the next day.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
He's gallivanting for at least a month.
Yeah, I think it's been at least a month. I think he got to enjoy his Thanksgiving, and now he's going in right before Christmas. I don't know what happened all around that. I don't know if he went in willingly. Like, did he turn himself in? And I kind of doubt that.
Basically, I just saw that he was denied bail.
Oh, really?
Yes. He was a flight risk. They've pointed out that he transferred $300 million to some bank account in Brazil. Because he knew it was a Ponzi scheme. It looked like it was a Ponzi scheme. It was like Bernie Madoff 2.0.
Yeah, Gary Gensler said in a statement that Sam Bankman-Fried built a house of cards on a foundation of deception while telling investors that it was one of the safest buildings in crypto. That was stated by SEC Chair Gary Gensler on Tuesday. And actually, another little side note real quick before I move on from there, or before we move on from there. Gary Gensler actually went on and said that the only commodity in the crypto space is Bitcoin.
Yep. I think we've mentioned that before. I mean, the rest of them are just securities, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, and that's just, it's good to hear that reiterated. There's still a debate on Ethereum. A lot of times, whether or not it's considered a commodity or if it's a security, and I think that's a little bit more in the gray area just because of its inception. But considering that even to this day, like Bitcoin's still considered that, I think that's pretty high praise. That's still a good thing.
I have one argument against not Bitcoin but Ethereum is the fact that they had to stop the clock and rewind that one time.
Yeah.
Right. So,
well, and that's where you got Ethereum Classic, and then you have regular or the modern version of Ethereum, right? Or the current version.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that you can do that with, that's always kind of concerning to me. And then the other problem that I have with Ethereum a lot of times too is the whole fact that if you have enough Ethereum, you control all the nodes. Because of the staking, right? You don't have to have the horsepower. You just got to have, and in a sense, in Bitcoin, you just got to have money bags too. But I mean, that takes a lot more money bags, I think.
Well, you have to work for it.
Yeah.
Whereas you just have stake in it and then you're good. And it's the whole proof of stake versus proof of work.
Right. Let's see. I'm kind of just perusing this article here. FTX, $32 billion empire. And at one point, he had an estimated $26.5 billion in personal wealth.
That's pretty ballin'.
No doubt. And over $8 billion of FTX's customers' deposits are allegedly missing. We had talked about this, back when it kind of just happened, right?
We talked about it the day it went under.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, I mean, we kind of talked about how, I mean, this is probably going to lead to more scrutiny in a lot of ways across the board. You know, and Gary Gensler says, he followed up that statement that I said earlier. He says the alleged fraud committed by Mr. Bankman-Fried is a clarion call to crypto platforms that they need to come into compliance with our laws. So I think they're about to crack the whip. The big thing, there's a couple big things going on right now, too, with that. We're looking at the Ripple case still with the SEC. And there's some words saying that that's actually going to get a determination on the 15th as to what's going to happen with that.
That's pretty quick.
Well, the Ripple case has been going on for...
It's been going on for years.
Yeah, it's been going on for quite a long time. So now, I mean, if we really do get a ruling on the 15th, that's going to be a make it or break it for a lot of different, for every other crypto that's not Bitcoin in a lot of ways, right? So, I don't know.
Well, it's going to separate the Bitcoins from the, you know, what else coins.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We also, I mean, so that's also bringing, you were talking about something about Coinbase. What were you talking about Coinbase with this whole spill too?
Just with everything that's going on, you know, there's articles talking about Binance. We'll leave that aside for now. But with Coinbase, there was some lending that has happened. You know, people borrowed, or Coinbase borrowed money from people. And some of those notes were being sold on the market for like 70% of their value. So there's a lot of fear going on in all crypto markets and in exchanges right now. And, I know Kathy Wood actually swooped in and bought quite a bit on this dip, but it's just kind of interesting to see how this contagion is spreading to every other corner.
Well, and I think the big part of that though, is that I still get tinfoil hatty whenever we talk about this, because I really think a big part of this is that they were looking for the trigger to get regulations going. And this was large enough. And it's not even that it was that large. We've seen, I mean, I hate to say it, but we've seen this type of downfall happen in the crypto space before. Maybe not quite to this level of media frenzy, but we've seen this kind of thing before. And I think they're just using it as kind of like the I don't know if you'd want to call it a canary in the coal mine kind of thing or what, but this will allow them to push through on regulations that they may have taken more time on before. You're going to feel political and media pressure, right? I guess from this.
Yeah, well, it's definitely stirring up a frenzy, right?
Yeah. And then, I mean, kind of in regards to what you were talking about there, Binance has been witnessing worldwide regulatory pressure lately around numerous jurisdictions accused of the cryptocurrency exchange by operating unlicensed businesses with dozens of regulatory bodies filing non-compliant complaints. Says it was supposed to double the size of its compliance team. Now, they did have... Oh, wait, let's see. What is this? Crypto firm Binance paused withdrawals after $1.9 billion taken out in 24 hours.
Yes, I saw that too. Does it say what they froze? Is it just the one token that they have? Or was it all withdrawals?
It looks like it was just the USDC.
USDC, okay. Yeah. And the more I look at the kind of stable coin type things.
Well, and I mean, honestly, like if there's going to be a CBDC, which again, if you don't know what that is, it's the central bank digital currencies. If there's going to be a CBDC, the United States does not want anybody else to have some sort of a stable coin. Because the CBDC from the United States, basically the digital dollar, would be the stablecoin. And that's what they'd want. That's what they'd want people to use anyways.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would be the ultimate means of control. So,
yeah, they don't want any competition with that. I mean, and not only that, but it goes back to like what you're talking about with the control aspect of it. They'll be able to see any moves that you do. Like if you sell Bitcoin and put it into the CBDC, they'll know.
Yep. Or heck, you just buy too many six packs of beer, they'll know. You spend too much money on video games, they'll know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of how China does it. Like, if you keep playing too much video games, they'll actually dock your social credit.
Which is kind of... I don't know. But the weird thing is like China, like, they lock people down, like, seriously lock people down. And you're not allowed to go play a game? Like, that's kind of just sad, you know?
Zero COVID policy. Or, hey, you say something bad against the government or the president or whoever, the chairman, and they basically will revoke your passes. You can't even buy, like, a bus ticket out or a plane ticket.
Yeah.
You're stuck. So yeah, I know that's Orwellian crap on steroids to me. And if they're able to roll out the central bank digital currency, that's what we're looking at.
Yeah. No, that is for sure. And I don't know how far away we are from that. I think we've talked about that on the podcast too. I think we said it was going to be probably next spring. Is that what we were saying? Where there's going to be some sort of an announcement or a rollout?
Well, I think it kind of depends on the strength of the dollar.
Yeah. So there was an audit that was performed by Binance. And the former SEC regulator that commented on this said, Binance proof of reserves audit is definitely a red flag. Yeah. And that's, I don't know if they're just trying to be fearful. I mean, Binance went from being, you know, a pretty strong crypto competitor to basically being the world's largest crypto exchange that's out there. You know, and they've had their fair share of issues with regulations. I think they were forced to open up an office within the United States just due to political pressures and not having... Like, some of our stuff is so outdated in the United States. If you don't have a physical business address, they, like, flip out. Right? And that's, I mean, it's old laws that are still in place. So, I don't know. Binance is, you know, they've been hacked in the past, and CZ actually has pulled money out of their own reserves that he had basically to make investors whole. They've done a lot of different things. So not by any means am I saying that Binance is bad or insolvent or anything else, or that they're great and the cat's meow. I don't know. They've done so well so far, and I really hope this is just fear mongering out there in the masses, trying to keep things under control.
I agree. I mean, I don't trust a lot of these big exchanges. I mean, obviously FTX is kind of its own thing, Tether, but you know, Coinbase and Binance seem to be kind of the big dogs in the world. And if something were to happen to Binance, man, you think Bitcoin prices are low right now? Just wait.
Oh, my gosh. You would have a fire sale. Because, again, the mass populace, for the most part, they can't separate between Bitcoin and crypto. Like, Binance does not control Bitcoin.
Nope.
FTX did not control Bitcoin. Bitcoin is doing its own thing and has continued to do its own thing. There is no CEO of Bitcoin. It was interesting. I watched a video the other day, and of course it's a computer geek, right? But he was sitting there and he was talking about it, and he's like, Bitcoin is more of a discovery in mathematics more than being created. Like, it was just there naturally. I was like, man, I like this guy.
And I want to have whatever that dude's smoking.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
It's good stuff.
Other news that came out today, we did get CPI numbers, and they dropped again. I think we were we at 7.7?
I thought it was 7.6, somewhere in there.
7.6, now we're at 7.1, which is below the forecasts, which I think that's a big reason why we saw Bitcoin go as high as, what did it hit up to today? The high today was 18,106 was the high today. I mean, and it was basically off that news about the CPI numbers. how they came out and how basically how good they were doing. So, yes, sir.
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of fascinating. I mean, I've always thought that, you know, the worse the dollar does, the better crypto will do. But it's not really being the case right now, at least. So we'll see how things hold.
Well, but it depends on what you consider how worse the dollar does. Because right now the dollar's in strength. It's stronger than it's been in a long time. But that's the problem, right? You don't want the dollar to be doing good.
Well, I'm just saying that... what is the historical norm for CPI? I'm pretty sure it's a hell of a lot lower than 7.1, which we're celebrating right now.
Yeah, I mean, basically you would have to have, I mean, because what they always tried to keep it around 2% is what their target was.
Yeah, 2 to 3%.
And so, of course, really what it comes down to, though, is the investors are like, well, if the market's getting better, that means they're going to open up printing again. That's what they want, right? Like, that's the junkies just like, look, see, I went like a whole month without some crack.
I did 2 hours without smoking anything.
Yep. You got to give me some more. Give me some more now.
Give me the money lobe.
Yep. Yeah. It's just right now it's the promise of it.
Here's the deal though. I'm such a bear when it comes to like the markets. I mean, everything just looks like it's a house of cards, in my opinion. And I've been saying this for a long time and I've been looking stupid, but I swear when the dam does finally break on whatever you call our markets, the whole economy, when it pops, I mean, they're gonna be turning on the spigots then. I don't know. You know what we should do was we should start compiling all the people that say there's going to be a recession in 2023 and start going through all the names because the list is growing.
Oh, well, yeah. And I mean, the funny thing is we've talked about this. We're already in one. I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm talking about a recession / depression that is obvious. I mean, I don't care how much the press tries to spin it. When it is painfully obvious, when there's blood on the streets, that's when we'll know. I mean, there's some pain going on right now, but they can obfuscate and they can misdirect and people aren't paying attention. But when it gets to the point that no one can help but notice, that's when we're definitely in one.
Yeah, no, I agree. I understand exactly what you're saying. We're at that point. I mean, and I think that the problem that we have with the house of cards metaphor that you keep on referring back to is everybody's playing with the same house of cards. They all live in the same damn house. And that's why nobody's, if there was a country out there, and maybe El Salvador will be the first, if there was a country out there that was actually legit and straight with their stuff, they would be able to cast the stones to knock it down. And I mean, I'm sure that there are things that are falling down all around us, right? Like maybe the base has been taken out and we can't see it. And you know, it's kind of like Coyote, like I said, when he runs off the cliff, and as long as he doesn't look down, he's good.
Yep.
But as soon as he looks down, he's in trouble.
He's in trouble. Then it's when gravity kicks in and he falls to his death.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I'm kind of wondering. I mean, I don't know this. I'm just kind of spitballing here. So don't take anything I'm saying as like, I believe this is what's happening. But what if Russia is that country that's trying to back up their currency currency with gold? I mean, there's been moves that they've been doing that looks like they are doing that. They're trying to get around the SWIFT international payment system. It looks like they've been pretty successful with that. What if they're the country that's trying to set things up and, you know,
they could. I mean, they would need to get, I think China has got to join that boat with them. And we know China's books are so cooked.
That's what I'm wondering. I know China is in that boat with them, or they're trying to, but I don't know if I'm pretty sure there's some help, but they bring a lot more dead weight, in my opinion.
China does?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
China.
China. Yeah, I I'm curious. That would be something we'd have to bring up for the next episode, like what you're talking about. Like, who are your current whistleblowers on the collapse of the markets, right?
Yes.
I think it'd be interesting to kind of like pull that information up and be able to compile something off that. And just to kind of see, you know, where they're at, who's saying what, and kind of go from there.
Yeah. And prior to look at newer members of this club, not that Peter Schiff been saying this since, you know, 2010.
Yeah, if not longer, hadn't he? Or was yeah. it?
Well, he called the collapse back in 2006, but he thought it was always going to get worse. And I don't think his economics is wrong. It's just our system is, it's pretty crazy. Well, there's a saying that goes in the investing community is like the markets can stay insane longer than you can stay solvent sometimes.
Well, and that kind of goes back to what you were talking about with the guy from The Big Short that you were talking about in the last episode, right?
Right.
I mean, he knew by the math what he was looking at. That's the subprime housing market should have gone bust. And it kept on going for some reason. And he couldn't figure it out. I mean, he knew obviously what was going on. They were cooking the books, but it wouldn't come out and it wouldn't come out and it wouldn't come out. I mean, he lost. He eventually made out like a bandit, right? But he lost lots of clients because they kept on listening to him to hedge these bets. And the market wasn't doing what he was expecting it to do. Or what it should be doing.
It kept going off in the opposite direction of where things were really going for a long time. Yep. And he even said that so many clients bailed on him. And then many clients were yelling at him, even if they stayed on. But they never made more money in their life when it finally happened.
Yeah.
And none of them ever told him thank you or I was wrong or anything like that. So,
yeah,
it's kind of fascinating.
No, for sure. I mean, and then when you look at like Robert Kiyosaki, right? Like he's been saying the same thing for a long time. You know, and we've talked about Peter Schiff before too. Like the big thing with him is that economically speaking, we agree on a lot of fronts. We just don't see eye to eye on Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, most of the Austrian economists, I mean, they've been saying, calling for, you know, all sorts of crazy economic stuff to be happening for a long time. I mean, we are kind of there's something pretty crazy right now. It's just what level is it going to get to? And what's that time frame look like?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? Peter Schiff has been all about the gold train, and gold has not done jack diddly for the longest time. If you've been investing with Peter Schiff, your investments have been crap since 2010.
Yeah. No, you've lost money. No, I don't know if that's actually true. Let me see. I'm pulling up the gold chart right now.
Well, I'm pretty sure it has lost money because all of his bets the timing on that has not worked out. And that's the other thing. If you understand the economics, trying to get the timing is a whole nother can of worms.
Yeah, if you would have invested in gold back in Wednesday, September 1st, 2010, the high price that day was $1,316.25. So you would have made $500 over the past 12 years. Not that that's bad, but for inflation, nah.
Granted, if you would have bought gold in, you know, 2000, you would be doing a lot better because back then it was like $300 or $400 an ounce, and then it went up to $1,000 in that time frame. So,
yeah, I mean, you would have had it was $173 an ounce back in January of 2000.
January of 2000. So, and then somewhere about 2006, 2007, it got up to 500 and then it got up to 1,000. I don't know if, didn't it get up almost to 2,000 for a little bit before it crashed back down? And it's never even gotten there. Do you have the chart in front of you?
Yeah, I've got the historic chart of gold in front of me. Where were you talking about? Time frame?
Like, the time frame. Like, I mean, in 2000, it was about, said 170 something. And then somewhere in the mid, or the, I don't know if it was the late 2000s or early 2010s, it got up to 2000 pretty close, and then it died for several years.
September 1st, 2011, it got up to $1,920 was the high.
So almost $2,000 is what it got up to.
Yep.
And then
we did cross. Yeah, we did cross. We did cross back over $2,000 in August of 2020. And then, I mean, again, I mean, I always look, I go back. So Bitcoin, right? Had you bought, I mean, the chart only goes back to 2011. Let's say Monday, August 1st, 2011, current Bitcoin price at that time was $11.85 was the high that day.
Man, that's a screaming deal.
Yeah, but nobody wanted it. Nobody wanted it back then. Well, it was a lot harder to buy back then, too.
It was a lot harder to keep, too.
Yeah, you would have had to have like a hard drive. Well, a hard drive probably would have been best at the time, but even that, man, that's scary with a hard drive. Paper wallet that you would have been able to hold on to for a long time. Some way, somehow. Because your hard, like, I mean, if you're still running a computer from back then, it's possible, but that thing would be, yeah, that would be.
Yeah, it's on its deathbed.
Yeah, that would have been super hard to hold on to. Because I don't even think, I probably didn't get into Bitcoin until 2014. Was it before that? When did we do that one? Do you remember?
Yeah, it would have been 2014.
Is that when it was? Yeah, that sounds about right. I started buying it back.
Yeah, that is, because that was when my son was born. It was before he was born.
I think when we had done the episode that day, Bitcoin had just crossed like $500 or something like that. So I started,
still chump change.
It is still chump change. Yeah, I think it was probably right around that time. It was probably, 2014, and we were looking at $500 a coin. Still chump change, man. Jeez. I wish I would have bought a lot more, but I didn't have as much money back then either, so. So be it. That's how the cookies crumble. Do you have anything else you wanted to bring up today?
I think we've beat up our listeners enough for this quick episode.
Yeah, semi-quick. We'll get back together again here pretty soon. And we'll continue to discuss everything that's been going on in the markets. You know, and I'm curious. I mean, there's a lot of fear out there right now. Is this going to subside? Are we going to get back to something good? I know what you think is on the horizon, and I don't disagree. I mean, it's legitimately speaking, if we didn't have a corrupt market, you are absolutely 100% correct. But
it's just, how long can the facade keep going? I mean, Michael Burry saw this firsthand. We're watching it right now.
Yep.
So.
Yes, indeed. I don't know. I do not know. So, drop us on the Twitter. Let us know what you guys think. When do you think this house of cards will collapse? How do you think Bitcoin will come out of that? Like, that's a good question, right? We've talked about this before. Like, if the type of market happens the way that we think it'll happen, everything would collapse, including Bitcoin. But the question is, how quickly would it recover?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the question is removed from that event, what does it do in the preceding, say year after that?
Yeah.
What does it look like a year after that?
Right. Yeah. Precious metals and Bitcoin. That's your way to roll.
I think that's the safest bet.
And in this physical world, physical gold. Bets. Physical gold and silver, not paper. It's not going to do you any good.
Definitely no paper.
All right, y'all. Thank y'all for listening.
Our latest.